party.
I'm telling you what, got those two young men right on the front row. That's where I always, my mama had me sitting. We're right on the front row. She says, if you cut up, your daddy's going to see you, and he's going to spank you right in front of the whole church. But you look so good today. You really do. I want to say this before I get started. This is the last in this series of Life in Motion that we'll be talking about today. And if I seem to be take my time, it's because I want to make sure we touch everything that I want to touch in this message before we leave here and leave this series. And next week we'll start a new one. But let me say this. We're all set for the next 2 months. They called this week and we got new contracts. I signed all the contracts for November and they're finalizing December. So we still got church. We're still here. My goal is that we, and you'll see that as we grow, we can leave this room and go to another room. I like that. I like it. We can just grow because y'all look pretty comfortable in here today, pretty full. It looks good to me. Next Sunday, everybody say next Sunday. Next Sunday is what? Kingdom First Sunday. We not only start a new series, and not only do I pray for the people on next Sunday, but next Sunday we're going to receive communion for the first time in the Hilton. Amen. We're going to bring some hope and salvation to this hotel. And that's what I want. How many birthdays did we have this week? Raise your hand. Let me see. One right here? Oh, it's fine. Well, happy birthday. Anybody else? Happy birthday to you. How many divorces did we have this week? Terry? Pending. It's pending? Oh, my Lord. My Lord, have mercy. You better go sit up front, brother. It's good. Cindy, it's good to see you back this week. I'm glad you're here because he made a fool of himself last week. No, I'm glad that you're here. Glad everyone is here today. And God has a reason. Matter of fact, I'll say this, Jeanette. Are you listening to me, Jeanette? In the middle of the night last night, I thought of you and Lewis, and I knew, I didn't know why, but Pastor Mike brought me that prayer cloth, and obviously God was telling me something, speaking. So I believe God's going to move on that behalf. How many of you need God to move in a miracle? You need a miracle. You need God's divine intervention. I'm going to tell you something. There's so many things that I could preach right now, and I need to stay on target. But if you can only understand, I'll deal with this one day, the love of Christ. When you understand the love of Christ, it'll move you into the fullness of God. I'll deal with that at a later time, but you have to understand how important that is. As a matter of fact, you know, we see the screen here, and we listen to these people worshiping, and plus we worship with them. But let me tell you, the greatest worship there is on earth and in heaven, it's when you're driving your car, and for no reason you say, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you for helping my day. Thank you for providing for me a home. And I'll have a sip of water. Thank you for providing for me a home. Thank you for the food that I eat. When you start thanking God, that type of worship is stronger than this. You may not understand it, but that is the strongest worship you can ever have. When you walk through your house and say, thank you, Jesus. I'm not talking about putting on a show, because how do you put on a show by yourself? Thank you, Jesus. I just feel good today. Thank you, Father, for healing my body. Lord, I just give you honor and glory and praise. I'm going to tell you, you'll see a change in your life. Don't wait for a song to come on to get you happy. Nothing wrong with that, but when you do it like that, angels listen. Let's just clear something up. Everybody in this room has an angel assigned to them. They're called guardian angels. And some of you need more than one, Christian. But you have those guardian angels. And everything you say to God is translated and transferred right to Him. So don't ever underestimate the power of your worship. When you get sick, worship. When you fall down, worship. Because it's worship that'll bring life to you. Am I making sense here today? It's just something I feel to tell you. If I'm going to be a good pastor, if I'm going to be a good leader, I've got to tell you that He expects you to talk to Him. He wants you to pick up the phone, the Holy Spirit, and He wants you to talk to Him. Why? Because He really honestly loves you. Turn to somebody and say, Jesus really loves you. Are you happy to be here today? You know what? I just appreciate y'all so much. If I just take the moment and say that, if you get tired and weary, you can leave. But I just want you to know how much I appreciate you. And together we can make something great. I'm going to say that again. It got quiet. Together, Terry, together we can make something great. I know it. Thank you, Terry. You didn't hear Terry, did you? Terry said, give me some more water. Y'all got me clogged up here today. I must be there. If I get that in my mouth, I'll never be able to talk. Today we're going to talk about life in motion, the last of this series. Oh, we could go on and on with this, but I think next week we'll start with another series. But I want you to remember this statement. With everything that I say today, try your best to remember. If not, take notes. Take some mental notes. With motion, with movement, with going forward, motion becomes legacy. Motion becomes legacy. Say that back to me. So here's what I want to say. And let's start planting the foundation for this. The moves you make today has a rippling effect that will echo into tomorrow. Let me say that again. The moves you make today, right now, has a rippling effect that will echo into tomorrow. I call it the ripple effect. What do you mean by that? If I take a small stone, drop it in a water or in a pool where there's no movement in the water, and I drop it in there, you'll watch the ripple effect go great distances. The larger the stone, the greater the ripple effect. So everything you drop becomes long-lasting. Okay, so get that in your mind. It's called the ripple effect. So when you walk with purpose, when you drop the pebble of purpose, you drop the rock of purpose, you leave a trail others can follow. And believe me when I tell you, that ripple effect changes lives. But you'll see it can be pro and con. What about your life? My life? What kind of impact will we have on others? What kind of impact will we have? How will we change others? How will we help others, sissy? How will we do that? It's when you drop the pebble or the rock, Jesus Christ, into the pool, into life's pool, it will ripple into eternity and beyond. So when you drop the rock, Jesus Christ, into the water of your life, the ripple effect will go on and on and on and on. And even when you stand in front of Jesus, it's still rippling on. Matter of fact, some of you will not even know who you have, the rippling effect has touched in your life, other people, until you make it to heaven. And they'll say, you see that person over there? They're here because of you. You see those people over there? They're here because of you. And let me tell you, that's powerful. That's powerful. So the rippling effect goes into eternity and beyond, because nothing in God ends. Nothing in God ends. It goes on and on and on. So in God, everybody say in God, motion was never meant to be meaningless. It has to have meaning. What you do has meaning. Turn to somebody and say, what you do has meaning. So every step you take in faith, every act of obedience, every decision to keep going on when you think it'd be a lot easier to quit. How many have felt that way before? Everything like that creates a ripple that touches lives you may never meet. You may never meet them, but the ripple effect has grabbed them. It's gotten them, and some are surfing on the rippling effect. Amen. Praise the Lord. We've got some people still coming in. They're coming in by droves. One night I was preaching in Ohio, and an ice storm came. And I'm standing in the foyer with the pastor, and I've been preaching there several nights. I had pneumonia, but I kept preaching like a crazy man. And we're standing off. He said, Alan, there probably won't be anybody here tonight. It's all ice stuff. I said, no, God's told me they're going to be here. People started driving in, sliding sideways, coming into the parking lot. And I said, look, they're coming in by droves. One more just drove in. And that place, you're not going to believe, but God brought in a pretty good crowd that night in an ice storm. You see, God doesn't care about ice. What he cares about, are you going to be obedient in the storm? Will you be obedient in the storm? Because just because it's not convenient does not mean it's not commissioned. I'm speaking from the Holy Spirit now. Just because it's not convenient does not mean it's not commissioned, that God has not placed you in that with that opportunity to do something great. And it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. Never give up on the purpose. Never give up on the commission. Never give up. You can't win the game of life giving up in the third quarter. So all the ripple effect, you will never know who it touches. But hear this about legacy. This is important. Legacy isn't built at the finish line. Legacy isn't built at the stopping point. It's built in the motion of faith. In the motion of faith. Let me just talk about the definition just quickly of legacy. Legacy is the long-lasting impact that your life creates. The long-lasting impact your life creates. What will happen after you? What goes on after you? Because there's coming a day, there will be an after you. And we may not see it now. And I hope many of us, we have a lot of time left. But there's going to be a time when it's after you. After you. What difference? What legacy is there? When your movement aligns with God, when what you're doing aligns with God's purpose, you don't just make progress. Mark this down. You don't just make progress, you make history. You make history as you follow that path. You follow what God is doing. Here's some scriptures I want you to place in your mind as we go on. And this will be the foundation of where I'm going to go today. But I want you to hear these scriptures, because the reading of the word is heard not only here on this earth, but it's heard in heaven. Amen. You say, why is that? Because the Bible says, my words shall not return unto me void. So that means any word spoken that is his word will never return void. That's how important it is to read the word. 2 Timothy 4:8, here comes the Apostle Paul. 2 Timothy 4:6, in the New Living Translation. As for me, he says, my life has already been poured out. Has anybody ever felt that way before? My life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. He's telling Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race and I have remained faithful. What is he teaching the young man? The ripple effect. Watch. In Psalms, the Bible says in Psalms 145, verse 3, great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. Now watch this next verse. Watch this next verse, verse 4. Let every generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. What is happening in our life? What's happening in our society? What's happening in the United States of America and around the world? Parents have forgotten to tell their children about Jesus. Now, let's just leave that one there, because I'm going to tell you the thing that drives kids into God is the parents. We want to think the pastor is going to do it. All the pastor can do is give instruction and some guidance. But it is the parents that is the anchor in the home that teaches children what to do and how to do it. I'll get into that in a minute, too. I don't want to preach on every one of these verses. So let every generation tell its children. What does he say? Pat, there's a rippling effect. There's a ripple effect. Watch this. He goes into Matthew 5:14. In the New Living Translation, he says, listen, you are the light of the world. You're like a city set on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. That would be foolish. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. Your good deeds for all to see. There's a reason for that. Because when they see your good deeds, there becomes a ripple effect where they themselves will start to try to imitate what you're doing, because they see you're being blessed, that you're walking in strength, that you're walking in power, you're walking in ability. Let me tell you, there's no telling who you've touched, because they saw you at a moment when you should have been destroyed, but yet you're alive, you're well, you're strong. In a time when you should be angry and you should have been giving people hell, you gave them heaven. When there was no way you were going to forgive, yet somebody you forgave, and that other person saw it, and they said, if they can do it, I can do it too. I'm telling y'all some truth today. This will shake heaven, and it makes the devil mad, mad, mad. Because he don't want you to walk this way. And I'll show you why in a moment. He says, in that same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. What is he saying there? They're going to praise him because of what you're doing, what they're observing. I want you for a moment to remember, because many of you like the beach. You love to go down to the ocean. And I've done this many times, especially early in the morning. I'd walk on the beach or run on the beach. And as I ran, I noticed that wherever I was running, I was leaving footprints. Everything, where you step, it remains. That means someone walking behind me, if they knew I took off in that direction, that means they could actually follow my footprints and find me. They're going in my direction. That's legacy. That's leaving footprints. Leaving footprints. I just wonder how many footprints are we leaving? Your faith leaves a pattern others can follow. It's your faith. It's your faith. That's why it's so important not to let your faith down. Don't moan and groan and complain. That doesn't touch heaven. Moaning and groaning and complaining and murmuring and getting angry doesn't touch heaven. What touches heaven when you say, no matter what's going on, God, I know you're in control, and I'm going to love you right through all this. I'm going to praise your holy name. I'm going to praise him in the morning. I'm going to praise him at noon. And I'm going to praise him in the evening. And when I go to bed tonight, I'm going to praise him. I'm just going to praise God. So understand this. It leaves a pattern that many generations will follow. Not just one, but many, because there's an effect going on that we'll touch on in a moment. And in Hebrews 13, verse 7, the Bible says, remember them which have, now he's given instruction here, the apostle. Remember them which have the rule over you. That's spiritual rule. That has the spiritual authority in your life. Now watch what he says. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Next three words. Whose faith follow? Whose faith follow? Whose faith follow? Considering the end of their conversation. Understanding what they've said. Understanding what they've done. Understand it. And follow it. Imitate it. If you read that in the Younger's literal translation, this is the literal translation of that verse, Hebrews 13, 7. Be mindful of those leading you who did speak to you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the issue of their behavior, be imitating. Be imitating. We should be imitators of those that have gone before us. But what can they imitate if they have nothing beneficial to imitate? If you don't believe in discipline, your children won't believe in discipline. And what happens then? It goes on and on and on. It progresses, just like church. If you don't believe in church, your children won't believe in church, attending church and being a part. And then it goes on to your grandkids and your great-grandkids, and it goes on and on and on, where they no longer want to be a part of the family of God. And that's what's happening right now. We're not going to do that. We're going to keep going on. We're going to be imitators of his word. So what I'd say today is we need to make some footprints some other people can follow. We need to do that. He said, well, Bishop, you know, let's leave that on to these other churches and these other people and other groups. Look, if yours is the only footprints, yours matter. You don't have to be a mega church to have footprints. I've been mega and I've been bega. I've been both. And I'm going to tell you, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor seed out begging bread. Amen. Amen. You may beg for a moment, but joy is going to come in the morning. So I'll make some footprints somebody else can follow. Even when times get a little tough and the trials of life come upon us. I mean, it gets tough and trials come and it threatens to wash your footprints away, right? But God, everybody say, but God. But God will ensure your impact will remain. It will not wash away. The question isn't, will you leave footprints? Now, let's just mark that down. The question isn't, will you leave footprints? It's, what kind will they be? Because you can leave good footprints, a good direction, a wholesome direction, or you can leave a negative one. But you're going to leave a direction. Right or wrong, you're going to leave a direction. Motion, well, I'm always doing something, Bishop. Listen, motion without purpose fades. But motion with purpose endures. Motion with purpose endures. You see, Paul, as we read a minute ago, he didn't just run a race. Now watch this. Paul didn't just run a race, Randy. He ran his race. We talked about that last week. He didn't just run a race. He ran his race. What did I say last week? We get so caught up with everybody else's race, we want to run their race, and that's their race, not yours. Your race is your race. My race is my race. That's why I'm not going to get up here and tell you how to live your life. Christians have lost it. Denise was telling me about this young lady that became a Christian. And I can't say her name. You called her Kathmandu, but I don't know. Huh? Kathmandu. Kathmandu, whoever that is. I don't listen to that mess.
She was a tattoo artist I used to watch on television.
Oh, she's a tattoo artist. That's why I don't listen to that mess. Here's the deal. She becomes a Christian. They attack her when she wasn't a Christian. She becomes a Christian and they attack her because she's not a Christian enough. And I'm going to say this from the throne. How do you become a Christian enough? Except you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you're not saved. But once you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you have become what I would call a Christian if you really believe it. So how more can I be a Christian? How much more can I be a Christian? It's being a Christian's the easy thing. It's walking it out. It's the tough thing. And it's real tough when other Christians are weighing you down. Telling you how bad you are and how you don't fit in, how you don't look like. If I'd have done that to Christian, he wouldn't be sitting here today. Tell the truth. It's the truth. Jimmy, you wouldn't want to be here. Randy, I know you wouldn't be here. But see, Jesus takes you like you are and then changes you in what you should be. I can't change you. Only God can do that. Can I tell you a little story? Y'all don't mind this outside this, but it's a ripple effect. I told you I study near-death experiences. I do that. I don't know why God's got me there, but that's just what I study. But this man was living a gay lifestyle. This is a true story. And so when you come to church, you're coming to have a good time. I'm giving you truth. Here's what happened. God started working on him because he'd already had two relationships and two marriages where he married a man. But God started working on him. Nobody talked to him. But God started working on him. Then he gets on a horse and starts riding his horse one day. The horse starts bucking. His foot gets caught up in the left stirrup. And when he gets caught up in the stirrup, he falls off and the horse takes off running. And then the horse does what horses do. It back kicked him to get rid of the stirrup. And when he back kicked, it caught him right here and pushed his skull through his frontal lobe. He died. Boom. And in that experience, I won't tell you the whole story. He said, in that experience and going into the heavenly realm, he said everything that he had done in the past, it was the love of Christ burned it away. He said it just burned away. The things that I used to desire, the things I wanted, things I thought were important, was all burned away through the love of Christ. Amen. All the negatives were gone through the love of Christ. And when God brought him back, they said he would not live, but he did. But God brought him back, and now he's engaged. He said, I fell in love for the first time with a young lady. Why did I tell you that story? It's so important for you to understand the force, the fire of the love of Christ. Now he'll have a ripple effect, won't he? He said all his friends turned against him when he changed. Nobody had to tell him to change. He changed because of the fire of Christ. That's why I don't come at somebody and say, well, why didn't you tell them they're wrong? Because that's not my job. My job is to say Jesus loves you and Jesus can change you. Now, am I right or wrong? That's the kind of Jesus I serve. I'm not going to get through this message today, I can tell you. So Paul ran his own race. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I finished my race. I remained faithful. Paul understood something, though, very powerful. Watch this. Faithfulness is legacy. Say that back.
Faithfulness is legacy.
Faithfulness is legacy. He poured, watch this, he poured his life into certain people, into Timothy. He poured his life into Timothy. And then Paul started planting churches. He wrote letters that still preach today, and I'm preaching it today. His obedience outlived his body. The ripples are still here. His motion became ministry, and his ministry became legacy. Isn't that powerful? Many generations because of that. Alan Meshuggah is standing in the Hilton at Marietta preaching about somebody that died 1,000 years ago. Isn't that incredible? 2,000 years ago. He's gone, but I'm still preaching. And somewhere in heaven, Ricky, he's standing there saying, "Preach it, boy. That's what I said. That's what God told me to say." It's the ripple effect. When Paul was in prison writing to Timothy, he wasn't focused on fame or fear. He was focused on the next generation, the next move, what God's going to do. Are y'all happy today? I am. Something in the spirit tells me, just get happy. He said to Timothy, his dear son, in 2 Timothy 2:1, in the New Living Translation, "Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed," watch, "that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others." Ripple effect. How did this happen? What happened in Paul's life? That's four generations of motion in Paul. Paul to Timothy, Timothy to others, and others to future teachers. You see how it works? Faith doesn't die. Faith doesn't die, Jason. Faith doesn't die. Say that back. When it's taught forward. It never dies when it's taught forward. You can't think that faith is a fantasy or it's a myth. And you don't need faith until you fall and bust your head. But I thank God for faith before I fall and bust my head. Amen. Right, Carlos? Faith is when they call me and say, "Somebody needs prayer." Faith says, when I'm by myself, I say, "God, touch Pat and Carlos today. God, just touch them. Pray for Randy. Randy, touch Randy." And I said, "God, use Randy's hurt and pain to help someone else. Take Floyd and her wit testimony." The ripple effect of that is so powerful. Jimmy, what you've done in your life, it's powerful. Jeff, I can go around this room. Don't negate the fact that you need to leave positive footprints. Don't ever forget, you need to leave positive footprints. And I can't leave your footprints. You have to leave your own. Four generations. So faith doesn't die when it's taught forward. Here is the problem. I said it before, but here is our major problem. We're not passing on anything that endures, just temporal desires. Temporal desires. "Well, I'd like to eat a pizza today. That's what's going to make me important, feel good." A moment on the lip is a lifetime on the hip. It makes me feel good. An affair makes me feel good, but it only lasts for a short moment. And when your wife finds out, it really lasts for a short moment. So we're not passing on anything that's lasting. See, legacy is built in small, faithful movements and moments. Small, faithful moments. See, we think that legacy comes just from big achievements. Bishop, I just got to go out and do some big achievement. But it's not that. It's born in consistent obedience. I said that to what's your name again, Christian? I said that to him today. I walked over beside him. I said, you see, we can never do anything great for God until the people get committed. Is that what I said? Because that's what it takes, you. You say, well, Bishop, I'm not missed. You are. You don't know what it does to me to see you sitting here today knowing that you, so Alton drove an hour and he'll drive 2.5 hours to get home today. And Pat and Collis and Terry, and but I can name some different ones of you that drive great distances just to be here today. But you paid the price because you know the Word of God is so valuable. And what God is wanting to place into your spirit is so unique. An eagle, you say, well, I'm gonna find me a place right around the corner from my house. An eagle never eats near its nest.
That's right. And you're not there.
That's right. Thank you, Michelle. I've got one fan in the house anyway. So it's not big achievements. What is it? Consistent obedience. Consistent. Psalms 145 verse 4 reminds us, let each, well, this is here. Here it is. Psalms 145, 4 reminds us, let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Every prayer you pray, every seed you sow, every act of love is legacy in the moment and in movement. Every one of them. I mean, think about a single mom or a single father that has children. They get up early and they work hard all day long. They have to fix food. They have to clean the clothes. They have to do all the menial tasks, which are not menial. They're important. And then each night you may feel like you're doing nothing, but Tiffany, you're building history. You're building history. I say that to her because she's got her little baby here today. And she's standing there hearing the Word of God with that child. I told Denise yesterday, the most important thing we've done in this move that we've done is have the kids with us. Yes. So we're building that young mom or young father. They're building history. You may not feel like you are, but you are. Say, I am.
I am.
Listen, my father... Some of y'all knew him, but my dad, when I was young, he would always pray with us before I went to bed. He would pray with us. Because he prayed with us, it stayed with us. We never went to my grandfather's house and he'd say, "Youngins, come around," and he'd kneel. And he'd pray for every one of all the son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws and grandchildren. And he knelt and prayed. And you don't think that made a mark on me?
Yes.
Now let me say this. Because the ripple hit Alan Meshuggah, you're sitting here today. Because the ripple hit Alan Meshuggah, all my children are serving God right now. Many standing behind pulpits right now. I have people that they don't claim to be a part of me anymore, but they're standing behind a pulpit to preach because of what we did. Some in other countries, because of what we did. Matter of fact, that church over there that took our place, they didn't take it. I gave it away. I just want you to take it. Get in here. It's serving its purpose because of what we did. Because of what we did, it serves a purpose. Still a ripple effect. And believe it or not, we're still going to get rewarded for what we did.
Yes.
No matter if it's there or here or where.
Right.
Are y'all catching the ripple effect? It's very vital. It's important. So whoever you are in your family, you're teaching faithfulness, resilience, and trust in God. Don't get tired doing that. Don't get weary doing that. You're teaching resilience. That's important. You see, the world sees it as survival. I don't. World says we have to survive. Heaven sees legacy. Heaven sees legacy. It's not survival. It's legacy. So, Someone is watching your walk. Someone's watching your walk and your talk. You can get down with your kids and pray in the morning or an evening, and then get up and curse and swear all day and murmur and complain, and you're not teaching them anything. You're teaching them that it's hypocrisy, not legacy. Am I making sense? You are someone's example. That's scary, isn't it? You are someone's example, whether you realize it or not. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so everyone will praise your heavenly Father." They're going to do that. That's what they will do. Your light that you have isn't for attention. Well, I want some attention. Your light is not for attention. It's for direction. Your light that you carry is for direction, not for attention. A lighthouse isn't up there for attention in the ocean. Well, look at that. Isn't that beautiful up there? No, it's not there for you to say it's beautiful. It's there for direction. That's why it's there. So you may be the reason someone believes and their faith still works. Their faith still works because of you. That to me is a high mark in heaven, a great mark in heaven. Can you give me an example? I will. What if you're a business person or a business leader or a pastor or administrator of a church even? Let's put it that way. You choose integrity over profit. It teaches the next generation that character is greater than cash. Listen, there's a lot of things you say about me, but I do not lie. And I would never. There's a lot of things you can call me, but you call me a thief or a robber, you've made a huge error. Why? Because it's important to me to tell the truth. I said that in court. I said, don't put me on that stand. I said, if you do, and I said, no, I'm going to tell the truth. No, that putting your hand on the Bible don't mean nothing to me. Because I carry the Bible in my heart. I'm going to tell the truth. And it may hurt you, but I'm going to tell the truth. And that's just the way it is. And if you follow those footprints, it's going to lead you in the right direction. You can't follow a liar and follow their footprints. They're going to lead you off course. They'll lead you off course every time. Some people want people to preach and teach them, everything's going to be all right, honey. You're going to be blessed and highly favored, and you're going to have millions of dollars. Well, that may not quite be true. God may not have positioned you for that for a reason. There's people I know that had been better if they had not been blessed. I heard the story of a man yesterday. They had him, he won a $50 million lottery. You hearing me? A $50 million lottery, and 2 years later he committed suicide. So does money solve it? No, it doesn't solve it. It doesn't solve what's going on inside of you. Where he could have created legacy, it was devastation. So we choose character over cash. And maybe you're an addict. Has anybody ever been an addict? A sugar addict? An alcohol addict? A food addict? Don't act like you're not an addict. If you're a recovering addict who stays sober just another day, it shows that freedom is possible. Ripple. How about that servant, that faithful servant who prays quietly? Nobody even sees him pray. And they love consistently. So that person always loves. They're always praying. It shows what endurance really looks like. Somebody's watching. So what are you saying, Bishop? You may not be famous, but you're formative. You may not be famous, but you're formative. You're forming something. I've learned more in the last year, let's put it that way, than I have in the previous 36 years. You like that? Come on, smile. I'm 76 years old, and I've learned more in this year than I have, Ricky, in 75 years. What did I learn, Jesus? A lot of times we preach about Jesus, but we are not in what I would call a real relationship with the love of Christ. See, I'm walking in a new dimension of the love of Christ that passes knowledge. God, I can't wait to preach that sometime. You just have to understand how important that is. It'll get you out of the grave. It'll get you out of the sick bed. When some catastrophic event happens in your life, God will wipe it away. Why? Because you are in love with love. He's the lover. So I'm not famous, but I am formative. People are shaping their faith by watching yours. When you question impact, when you start to question impact, remember who you're imitating. We should be imitating who? Jesus. And those that have gone before you. There are some, hopefully, follow me as I follow Christ. That's what the Bible says. We're going to follow somebody. And there's going to be some low moments. I'm almost through. Another 30, 40 minutes. There will be some low moments in your life. So don't let me, I'm not going to lie to you. You're going to get low. Turn to somebody and say, he's talking to you. And there's going to be times you wonder. You're going to get low and you're going to wonder. I know Steve does that all the time, and I wonder about him too. Times you wonder, you'll say, does any of this matter? Has anybody ever said that? Does any of this matter really? Is my faith making any difference? Does that sound like anybody you know, Randy? Me? I've done it. Is my faith making any difference? What do you think Paul felt in prison? Maybe he felt some of these things. How about Elijah under the juniper tree with Jezebel hot on his trail to kill him because she hated him? Don't you think he felt some of these things, a low moment? How about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? Who is he, the Son of God, King of peace, King of everything? I mean, he's the King of all. And yet now he's facing everybody turning against him, and he's facing a cruel cross. What do you think? Mark this. But faith that feels invisible is often the most influential. You may not feel it, but it's working. Even though I don't feel it, it's working. That's what the song said. So many small things. Do small things matter? Well, let's look at this. I saw an example of this. If I take a little domino like this, and I line them up, and I start lining up dominoes, and they get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I saw this happen where there was one that was like, finally it got up to 12, 15 feet tall. And it started off with this little bitty domino. And they clicked it over, and the domino effect took over. And pep, 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 pep. Until that big structure at the bottom, it blew my mind. It knocked that big structure over. The chain reaction could knock over something 100 times its size. Think about that one. You see, legacy works the same way. Your faithfulness today can knock down walls tomorrow. Amen. It may be small, but bam, it knocks down. That's what David did. He knocked down the giant, knocked it down. Don't underestimate then the power of small motion. You say, well, that domino doesn't mean nothing, that little old domino. It means something because it went into motion. And it started to affect the others and the others and the others and the others until it got to the big structure and knocked it over. It's the seed. That small movement is the seed of great legacy. You got to start somewhere. Almost through. Legacy is the overflow of a life that keeps moving. It's your overflow. It keeps moving. It keeps going. It keeps presenting itself. Even when you're tired, I've been that way before. I got up one morning, I said, I'm not going to go to church today. My wife says, you have to. I said, why do I have to? She said, because you're the pastor. But sometimes people think that we're machines. And there's been times I've stood and ministered when I'm sick. But my sickness would leave while I was preaching his gospel. And somebody was saved. You see, if somebody is saved or delivered or helped, it's more important than my sickness. You see, Paul's race, the race he was running, was not about perfection. It was about continuation. He just continued on. He kept working on. Kept working on. Even when he was tired, he was wore out, he was in prison, he was misunderstood and ridiculed, he kept moving. And because he kept moving, the church kept multiplying. You get that? Because he kept moving, the church kept multiplying. You know how a church dies? When the people within it they stop moving. It's not the word that dies. You say, well, boy, I tell you what, that word, he preaching it, sure ain't cutting the mustard. Well, it's hard to cut mustard when they're hard-headed. Because the word will change you. If you'll hear what I'm saying today and go home, start meditating on the Lord and start thanking him, start realizing there's a ripple effect, and everybody you come in contact with, there's a ripple effect, it'll change. Your life will change. So there's moments I'm sure many of you are going to say, well, let me say this first. Your obedience doesn't end with you. Your obedience doesn't end with you. It continues through those you've touched. Now here's the key. That's why the devil is mad as hell and trying to kill you and working on you overtime because of your faithfulness. Because he knows. See, he's not stupid. He knows your motion will outlive your moment. He knows your motion will outlive your moment. So he wants to try to nip it in the bud, as Barney Fife used to say. Nip it in the bud, Ange. Nip it in the bud. So what he tries to do is get you so disheartened, so disgruntled, so that he nips it in the bud and your faithfulness ceases and the ripple effect starts to come inward. Implode instead of explode. So your motion will outlive your moment. So do we wonder if our life truly matters? Do we question if our prayers are really being answered? Does being in service like this make a difference? I'm asking you. Maybe you feeling unseen and unappreciated. There are family members that feel that way. But here's your victory in all those questions you're going to ask yourself. When you hear those little voices in your head. When you realize that the small faithfulness creates generational impact. It creates it. God is not looking for the impressive. You can't impress God. God's not looking for the impressive. He's looking for the consistent. I'd rather have a consistent member, a consistent partner, than someone that just constantly tries to impress me when they feel like it. If I feel like it, I'll impress you today. If not, this is what you got. This is it, baby. But I didn't marry that. No, it's in that box over there with all those colors and stuff. You follow me? Impress? That doesn't impress God, and it doesn't impress me. It shouldn't impress you. What matters is how many ripples have you left with your life. Legacy is built on one obedient yes at a time. Just one obedient yes at a time. And this is for you, Randy, when you're going through a tough time, which you did this week in college, you and Pat. I'm buying all y'all football helmets, by the way. You need to ask this, how can this pain become purpose for someone else? Because they can't believe you're still here, Collis. They can't believe you're going to show up. Randy even sent me a message. He said, now don't get shocked when you see me. He said, because I fail. You don't mind me saying this. I don't care if you do. He said, don't be shocked when you see me because I fail. Hit my head. Well, the good news is this. He's here, and somehow, I said, Lord, through his pain, because I know he was in pain, maybe you can help someone else walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Because they see your faithfulness. You don't think God sees your faithfulness? He sees your faithfulness. Every time you give to the house of the Lord, you give to his service, you don't think he sees that? The angels see it. They're standing there with you. They know what's going on. Anytime I'm giving to the Lord, I don't make broadcasts over it. I don't broadcast it. When I'm helping somebody, I just say, God, you know, and I know you know, you're going to take care of me. Y'all tired yet?
No.
Well, I'm about to close. Remember what about to means in Southern terms. Yeah, thank you. Paul's journey wasn't for him, it was for forward motion. God never wastes motion. So if you think you're wasting, you're not. God never wastes motion. Every prayer, every tear, every step, it all becomes part of a story. A story that helps others believe that they can keep going on too. They can make it. You see, when you look at, how many of you have ever seen the Olympics when they do the torch relay, and it'll run right across the country. Now here's something key for you to understand. Not one of those runners, and they got a lot of them, but not one of them owns the flame. It belongs to them all when it gets to the end. It produces that mighty Olympic flame. Before it reaches the stadium, it doesn't belong to anybody until it gets there. Now, your life is a flame, and we're trying to get it to a stadium. We're trying to get it there. You are carrying what kind of flame? The flame of faith. The flame of salvation. And your job is not to keep it forever. You can't. There's going to be a time when you're going to go off the scene. I will. When I'm 120 years old. See, your job, you don't keep your job forever. You don't keep it forever. It is for you to keep it burning until you pass it on. That's the Olympic flame. You keep it burning till you pass it on. That's that ripple effect, generation. When you run with purpose, you make sure the next generation doesn't start in the dark. You were not made just to move. You were made to make a mark. Let me say this to you directly. Your life matters. I know they came out with Black Lives Matter and White Lives Matter and whatever lives matter, but I'm going to tell you, your life matters. Your life really matters. More than you know. So what do I say? Keep walking, keep talking, keep living, keep trusting, keep shining, keep developing. Keep doing what God has told you to do, and let your motion become legacy. Be like the apostle. I fought a good fight.